Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Today we open our show with news about a lawsuit being dropped against former Supervisor Nathan Fletcher. Then we'll tell you about a victory for residents in La Mesa, where plans for a battery storage facility in a residential neighborhood have been dropped. If you or your children visited Children's Hospital recently, you may have been exposed to measles, and we'll have the tales. On Green Scene, hear about a new court ruling on solar energy that is seen as a victory for consumers. Then on People Power, we'll tell you how the East County Posse came to the rescue of the San Diego highwayman, no, not a bandit, but a good Samaritan known for helping stranded motorists. The city of Santee is getting a brand new brush rig, and we'll have details. It's Clear the Shelters Month at all San Diego County animal shelters. Learn how you can adopt a pet affordably this month. From California News Service, we'll have a report on how DACA recipients, Deferred Action Childhood Arrival recipients, will be losing covered California coverage due to actions of the Trump administration. Two rescued bear cubs have a new lease on life thanks to the Ramona Wildlife Rescue Facility. On the second half of our show today, we will have some national news stories, including President Trump's executive order to take over the Washington, D.C. police force and send in the National Guard, as well as an update on starvation in Gaza and what world leaders are saying about it, followed by 2025 talks, which will have more national news stories, including the latest on the Trump-Putin meeting slated to take place in Alaska, and the latest threats to abortion access. Back to local news, the County of San Diego is closing two parks in August due to extreme heat. A new safe parking site for the homeless has opened in Grantville. And on Crime Beat, a suspect is wanted for the sexual battery of a jogger in Rancho San Diego. Then on Destination East County, we'll have all the most fun festivals and events coming up across East County for the rest of August. A hearing before county supervisors on the controversial Cottonwood Sand Mine project along Sweetwater River will be coming up on September 10th. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
Superior Court Judge Matthew Bronner has dismissed a lawsuit filed by Grecia Figueroa against former supervisor Nathan Fletcher. Judge Bronner said Figueroa engaged in rampant and willful spoliation of evidence, including deleting photos and text messages damaging to her case. Figueroa, a former Metropolitan Transit System employee, had accused Fletcher of sending her explicit messages, sexually assaulting her, and trying to get her fired. Fletcher was chair of MTS at the time. Some of those text messages included a photo of Figueroa in a low-cut top sent privately to Fletcher, and flirty conversations, including one in which she agreed to meet Fletcher in a stairwell for a beer, as East County Magazine previously reported, posting screenshots of the messages. Fletcher, who was a candidate for state legislature at the time, canceled his campaign and resigned as both supervisor and MTS chair amid the salacious allegations. He denied harassing or assaulting Figueroa, but did admit to a consensual relationship with Figueroa, a former TV journalist and MTS spokesperson. An attorney for Fletcher has said that Figueroa tried to extort Fletcher before filing her lawsuit. Fletcher, a decorated combat veteran, reportedly went to a facility out of state to receive treatment for alcohol abuse and for post-traumatic stress syndrome, or PTSD, related to his military service and childhood trauma. He stated remorse for his actions and indicated he was going to focus on being a good husband and father after completing treatment. Lorena Gonzalez, Fletcher's wife, said at the time, "I love my husband. He has acknowledged his mistakes, and I believe his name will be cleared of false accusations." On Facebook today, Gonzalez posted that Fletcher has filed a defamation lawsuit against Figueroa. Figueroa has said she plans to appeal Judge Bronner's decision to dismiss her case, Times of San Diego reports. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
Plans to build a battery storage facility on El Paso Street in La Mesa have been scrapped. It was a project opposed by most of the neighborhood that received sustained pushback, organized in part by Councilmember Laura Lothian. Since 2023, site developer Enersmart Storage had not filed any new paperwork with the city, so in a meeting with the city manager, Lothian asked about the proposed 18-megawatt facility, and on July 30th, she finally received an update. Enersmart Storage pulled the proposal, and so in all caps and purple letters, she emailed back, "Yahoo!" Lothian told Times of San Diego in a phone call, "I'm happy. The neighborhood's happy." The project pitted climate action plan goals against fears for public safety. Battery storage facilities can make electric grids more resilient against power outages. As alternate power sources increase in popularity, storage facilities redistribute solar and wind power collected during the day to be used at peak times in the evening. However, the developing technology is far from perfect. Fires have broken out in Otay Mesa, Valley Center, Escondido, and other places. These chemical fires are difficult to extinguish. In Otay, fire officials monitored the situation while the fire at a battery facility burned itself out over weeks, all while releasing toxic fumes into the air. When the proposed La Mesa facility would have been much smaller and compartmentalized to lessen fire danger, that did not allay neighbors' concerns. When Lothian visited the ongoing fire in Otay, she noted that site was in the middle of nowhere. The proposed La Mesa facility, by contrast, was backed up against houses and businesses, with Murray Manor Elementary School just 3 blocks away, close enough to need to be evacuated during a fire. The SDG&E electric substation across the street has 100 feet of defensible space. At just 22,000 square feet, residents feared the vacant lot, slated for the battery storage facility, would not have the insulation for nearby homes and businesses needed. Amy Reichart, a conservative leader and former candidate for county supervisor, lives directly across the street from where the battery storage facility would have been built. In a statement, she says, "This is a victory for our community and common sense. Firefighters warn, battery storage facilities do not belong near homes and schools, and now our families and pets are safe." Enersmart told CBS 8 the plans were pulled due to transmission constraints in the area that prevented us from participating in resource adequacy. That cut into revenues, so the project simply didn't pencil, the developer said. Residents believe that sustained loud opposition played a factor in the developer backing down. Lothian hosted a town hall with city and fire officials with a huge turnout at Brew Coffee Spot close to the proposed battery storage site. Terry Hoffman started a petition which garnered over 1,000 signatures opposed to the project. Hoffman also created social media pages dedicated to opposition. After learning of the project's cancellation, Hoffman said, "When you were up against someone with a lot of money and all that, it just seems like it's impossible." And so it was great of the developer to just pull out his application. The site is still owned by Zygmunt Properties, LP. Residents hope the long vacant lot can still be developed to improve the neighborhood, such as adding a child care facility if the property remains under private ownership. Or if sold to the city, it could be converted into a park. For now, though, the blighted property is a hot spot for the unhoused to hang out, remaining what Lothian describes as an eyesore. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Juliet Sanders with a health alert. San Diego County public health officials have confirmed the first case of measles in the region this year in a teenage resident who had recently traveled overseas. Anyone who visited Rady Children's Hospital's emergency room or the Scripps Clinic Torrey Pines Urgent Care on August 6th or 7th may have been exposed. Dr. Ankita Kadakia, County Deputy Public Health Officer, says, "Measles is a very contagious disease that can be spread easily by coughing, sneezing, or being in the same room with an infected person. If you are potentially exposed, watch for symptoms, and if you show any signs of the disease, call your health provider. Don't visit in person to avoid spreading measles to others." Last year, just 4 cases of measles were confirmed in San Diego County, and all were associated with international travel. But measles cases are on the rise this year, with 1,359 confirmed cases nationwide and 19 confirmed measles cases in California. The best way to prevent measles is by getting the measles vaccine, Dr. Kadakia says, adding that, "With measles outbreaks occurring in several countries, it is very important that all international travelers get vaccinated. That includes infants over the age of 6 months. Measles develops 7 to 21 days after exposure. Early symptoms include fever, cough, runny nose, and red eyes. A distinctive red rash usually appears 1 to 4 days after early symptoms start. A person is considered contagious 4 days before and 4 days after the rash appears. The rash typically begins on the face and head, then proceeds downward and outward to the hands and feet. It fades in the same order it began, from head to feet. Complications can include ear infections, diarrhea, and pneumonia. Death can occur from severe complications. There is no treatment for measles. Bed rest, fluids, and fever control are recommended. However, people with complications may need treatment for conditions such as pneumonia. The best protection against measles is to get vaccinated and to make sure that you and your family members are current on any recommended booster shots.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Juliet Sanders with the East County Magazine's Green Scene Report. Things are looking brighter for owners of homes with rooftop solar, who scored a victory in our court last week. California Supreme Court sided with environmental groups in a case seen as pivotal for the proliferation of rooftop solar power in California. In a unanimous vote, justices told a lower court to revisit a ruling that upheld reduced payments to solar panel owners for selling excess power back to utility companies, CalMatters reports. Justices did not rule out whether the changes to the solar program were legal, requiring the Court of Appeals to determine this. Bernadette Del Chiaro, vice president for California at the Environmental Working Group, said that the lower court punted on these issues of solar payments, adding, "I do think they're clearly stating this needs to be reviewed." At issue is a 2022 decision by state regulators to reduce by about 75% payments to solar panel owners who produced excess power. The change was intended to help make bills affordable for all customers while still encouraging the adoption of renewable energy sources. Three environmental groups that brought the lawsuit, the Center for Biological Diversity, the Protect Our Communities Foundation in San Diego's East County, and the California Environmental Working Group, argued in the case that the State Utilities Commission's decision left out crucial considerations around benefits to customers and disadvantaged communities. Roger Lynn, senior attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity, says California doesn't need to be in an affordability crisis if we have more local solar power generation. Utilities pay solar panel owners for the excess power under a program known as net energy metering. In previous iterations of the program, utilities paid solar customers a retail rate for their extra energy, which is the same price the utilities charge other customers when they resell that energy. This was changed under the current iteration of the program, which instead gives customers the avoided cost, which is how much utilities save by not buying the power back on the wholesale market. Customers who joined the program after mid-April 2023 received the new rate, while customers under the prior two versions will continue to receive the old rate for the duration of their contracts, which is typically about 20 years. Utility commissioners ruled in favor of power companies, which argued that older versions of the program created an unfair cost burden on customers. Those without rooftop solar, utilities said, have to pay more than their peers for routine maintenance to the grid. The groups bringing the lawsuit say that this idea is overblown. A court of appeals upheld the regulator's decision, relying on a legal standard that gives significant deference to decisions made by the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC. But now the state Supreme Court's decision finds that the Court of Appeals erred by using this standard. Whether or not the change in how solar panel owners are paid is legal will be left to the lower courts. But the decisions this week could have farther-reaching implications for state utility regulators. Terry Prosper, Utility Commission spokesperson, says, "We appreciate the court's careful attention to the appropriate standard of deference for reviewing CPUC decisions," adding that, "We are pleased that CPUC's decision will remain in effect as an important part of controlling electricity bills." Advocates said the decision reinforces that the Utilities Commission must ensure that its decisions fit squarely within the law. Del Chiaro, with the California Environmental Working Group, concludes, "For too long, they really have operated in a black box behind a shroud of complexity. Consumers and the planet have consistently lost out as a result of that."
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is John Tidwell with a People Power report. thanks in large part to the efforts of a local philanthropic nonprofit, the San Diego Highwayman is on the road to better times. Though he is now retired, Tom Weller, known as the Highwayman for his decades of volunteer work helping stranded people along freeways throughout San Diego County, was assisted by the East County Posse in the place where he needs it most, the house he shares with his wife Patty and rescued dog Sadie May in El Cajon. The 77-year-old Weller, who says it's still hard for him to ask others for help, even as he has spent much of his life helping others, earlier this year reluctantly shared a dire need for several major home repairs. Through the urging of friends, Weller has set up a GoFundMe fundraiser in which people countywide have been donating money to help defray the cost of his home's roof leaks, broken showers, and other plumbing fixes. But in late July, Ray Nader, president of the East County Posse, and Greg Brown, chairman, put together a posse of roofers, contractors, and others to come to Weller's rescue at the home he calls Goose Creek Ranch. Brown said, "We told him, Tom, it's time for us to pay you back. You keep your GoFundMe money. We've got this." The East County Posse first heard about Weller's needs through reporting by Channel 8, the CBS affiliate in San Diego. East County Magazine also featured Weller and his story. Brown said he grew up in East County and knew about Weller helping with broken down vehicles and stranded motorists and had seen his vehicle around town for years. Weller spent 5 decades helping close to 10,000 stranded motorists along all stretches of freeways across San Diego County until health issues forced him off the road in 2017. The major repairs are done. All that's left are a few more fixes in a bathroom in Weller's bedroom, which will be done on August 19th, Weller told East County Magazine. Roofing companies, a simulated marble contractor, plumbers, and suppliers all donated their time and materials. ABC Supply, AVL Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, Extreme Roofing, and Davis Roofing all pitched in, as did California Crafted Marble Incorporated and Cal Custom Manufacturing. The estimated $30,000 plus project was completed for just $8,500, thanks to the kindness and generosity of the East County Posse and community volunteers. Weller said there is no way he could afford to fix his home on his fixed income since neither he nor his wife is working anymore. He told East County Magazine, "I'm very, very grateful for the things that were done." Now nearing its 20th year of existence, the nonprofit East County Posse is a unique grassroots volunteer organization with no overhead, no office, and no paid staff. It's powered solely by what Nader calls a desire to do good and a strict vetting process that ensures their help goes to those working hard to lift themselves up. The East County Posse is comprised of just 100 members and a simple mantra, a hand up, not a hand out. The Posse operates with an internal appropriations committee that reviews each request for help. When the need is real and the effort is evident, the Posse goes all in. The group previously assisted a Boy Scout who grew up in the foster system. For his Eagle project, the young man wanted to give foster kids duffel bags instead of the trash bags many are forced to use when moving between homes. Brown recalls he knew what that felt like, so we funded 300 bags, and that project spread nationwide. The county adopted it. The Boy Scouts flew him around the country to speak, and that young man ended up at Stanford. In just one day, the group also built a daycare center and administrative hub at the East County Transitional Living Center, which helps individuals experiencing homelessness and also helps people with addictions get their lives back. The Posse's reach spans hundreds of miles and impacts thousands of lives, with work often accomplished in mere days. In Santee, when a military family with 2 disabled children needed their cramped home retrofitted for wheelchair access, the East County Posse didn't just modify the bathroom. They gutted and rebuilt the entire house in 3 weeks. Wider doors, new roof, flooring, kitchen, and even a redesigned landscape thanks to others who joined in when they saw the work unfolding. Nader says, "We don't advertise, we don't ask for donations, but when people see what we're doing, they want to be part of it." That spirit showed again when the posse returned to the East County Transitional Living Center in El Cajon to build not one, but two large dorms to house nearly 100 men and women transitioning out of being homeless on the streets. In what Brown calls their Trench to Poor in 24 campaign, they raised $550,000 through community events and built the structures for a fraction of that, thanks to all volunteer labor and donated materials. One of the buildings was framed, plumbed, and ready for inspection in under 5 hours, Brown said. "There was just one downside," Brown recalls. "There were so many people helping that we caused a traffic accident from drivers trying to see what was going on." The East County Posse holds just two fundraising events each year, a popular East County night out dinner and a large golf tournament at Steel Canyon Golf Course in Jamul. This year's 16th annual golf fundraiser is coming up on October 10th. Combined, the events raise enough to support dozens of major projects annually, Brown says. Unlike many organizations, the East County Posse issues no emotional appeals, donation envelopes, or fundraising speeches. Brown concludes, "I don't want accolades. I don't want my name in lights. I just want to do what's right." He adds, "My goal is to live a life of purpose, and I think everyone has that in them." You can learn more about the East County Posse at eastcountyposse.net.
The city of Santee has another key tool in its goal of protecting the city from wildfires, a new brush engine. City officials and the public will get together August 20th for a push-in ceremony at Station 5 to celebrate the new engine, which was paid mostly from nonprofit grants. According to the city, the $627,000 fire engine made by HME Inc. was acquired thanks to a $407,000 grant from the San Diego Regional Fire Foundation and the San Diego River Conservancy. The remainder came from the city's general fund. Frank Alt, chairman of the San Diego Regional Fire Foundation, says the fire engine will keep residents of Santee safe from wildfires, protect the San Diego River, and serve as a regional firefighting asset whenever there is a major wildfire in San Diego County and beyond. While Santee has long made fire protection its top priority, the city faced a setback last year when voters rejected a proposed half-cent sales tax increase championed by the labor union representing the city's firefighters and unanimously endorsed by the city council. The tax was supposed to pay for new stations, equipment, and personnel, but the city has continued to keep the fire department as the top recipient of funding in the general fund budget. This fiscal year, the Fire and Life Safety Department budget is $22.6 million. That's up $1.2 million from the prior fiscal year. That makes up about a third of the city's total budget of $64 million. The next highest allocation, $18.5 million, is for the city's law enforcement contract with the County Sheriff Department. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ in Santee, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Juliet Sanders with a public service announcement for the County of San Diego. Every animal deserves a loving home. This August, you can help make that happen. County Animal Services is waiving all pet adoption fees at the Bonita and Carlsbad Animal Shelters during the month of August for Clear the Shelters. Clear the Shelters is a nationwide initiative led by the NBC and Telemundo-owned TV stations to connect shelter animals with families ready to provide love, comfort, and care. Since 2015, the campaign has helped more than 1 million pets across the country find permanent homes. With shelters near capacity, this year's goal is to find a home for every adoptable animal. All pets adopted from county shelters come spayed or neutered, vaccinated, microchipped, and include 1-year license for dogs, free of charge, during August. From cats and dogs to guinea pigs and turtles, many animals are waiting to meet their match at County Animal Services, formerly Department of Animal Control. The website to view pets available for adoption is sddac.com. Or visit the County Animal Services shelter in Bonita or Carlsbad. They are open 6 days a week, Tuesdays through Sundays, from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Staff recommend choosing a second or third pet option in case your first choice is adopted before you visit. County of Animal Services promotes the humane and responsible care of pets and works to find foster homes as well as forever homes for each healthy and adoptable animal. The department partners with more than 300 rescue organizations and provides daily care for animals in need. But if you're not ready to adopt, fostering is another way to help. It gives animals time to adjust to a home environment and prepares them for adoption by socializing them with people and other pets. You can also support local animals in need by donating to the Spirit Fund. You can also support local animals in need by donating to the Spirit Fund, which provides free and often life-saving veterinary care for injured and sick pets at county shelters. You can also help by donating items from the County Animal Services wish list on Amazon or by volunteering your time to support the animals in our care. This August, help clear the shelters and give a homeless pet the second chance they deserve.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
People who are part of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, known as DACA, will be dropped from their covered California health plans at the end of August. The move comes after the Trump administration changed a Biden-era definition of lawfully present to revoke health care eligibility for thousands of immigrants. Christine Smith with Health Access California says people only have a few weeks to get medical appointments in before their coverage ends.
If you're enrolled in Covered California and you're a DACA recipient, the Trump administration just ended your coverage. People should use as much of your health care as you can before the August 31st deadline.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services defends the move, saying it will save taxpayers money. Covered California estimates that the change affects about 2,400 DACA recipients in the state who make too much money to qualify for Medi-Cal and have jobs that don't provide health insurance. They can still buy private insurance, but that is much more expensive. People who prepaid for their coverage can seek a refund. Smith predicts this is a blow not just to those who lose coverage, but to the state's health care system as a whole.
The lines in ERs are going to be longer because people are not going to be able to get affordable preventative care. They're just going to get sicker and then end up in the ERs. People will overall incur more medical debt. Hospitals will have more uncompensated care.
The change is nationwide. As of mid-July, about 538,000 people in the DACA program across the U.S. are ineligible to enroll in any state-based insurance marketplace and are unable to access premium subsidies or cost-sharing assistance. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. President Donald Trump has issued an executive order to put Washington, D.C.'s police force under federal control, claiming a need to reduce crime, CNN reports. However, according to Newsweek, violent crime in Washington, D.C. was the lowest in 24 years last year, while other crimes also fell. Trump named the Drug Enforcement Administration's top official as interim federal commissioner to run the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. In addition, Trump says he will deploy National Guard troops to assist police and that the Department of Defense stands ready to deploy active duty military to address crime in Washington, D.C. if needed. Washington, D.C.'s mayor and police chief have said they were not consulted nor notified of Trump's move to take over their police department and send in National Guard troops. A statement by the Democratic Mayors Association denounces the action as a political charade aimed at distracting the public from other news, such as what's in the Epstein files. The statement continues, if Trump actually cared about reducing crime, he wouldn't have made unprecedented cuts to public safety programs that actually work. Democratic National Committee Chair Ken Martin minces no words in denouncing convicted felon Donald Trump for, quote, wasting thousands of taxpayer dollars with these actions, likening this to Trump's deployment of National Guard troops in Los Angeles against the wishes of California's governor and LA's mayor, actions that cost taxpayers about $134 million. DNC Chair Martin says Trump doesn't give a damn about keeping D.C. residents safe. When rioters violently stormed the Capitol and there were repeated requests for the National Guard, Trump failed to act. To add insult to injury, he released from jail those 1,500 violent insurrectionists who assaulted police officers and broke federal laws. He accuses Trump of manufacturing chaos and stoking fear to consolidate power. As for residents of Washington, D.C., 71% of those polled by the Washington Post say Trump is getting too involved in local D.C. issues. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
President Donald Trump acknowledged on July 28th that there is a real starvation in Gaza, as Israel faces intense pressure to lift restrictions on aid while hunger spreads in the besieged enclave, according to NBC News. However, President Trump also doubled down on his support for Israel, even after he had appeared to give the green light to British Prime Minister Keir Starmer's plan to recognize a Palestinian state, according to the Guardian newspaper in London. Amid signs of opposition among his own supporters to Israel's military operation in Gaza, Trump criticized Starmer's plan to grant recognition as rewarding Hamas, even after having not taken issue with it when they both met in Scotland. Trump, speaking in Scotland, said that the United States would set up food centers in Gaza, as we have to get the kids fed, according to NBC News. He also said that he had seen images of Palestinians on TV and added that those children look very hungry. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said, in contrast to what the aid group assessments are saying, that no one is starving in Gaza, The Guardian reports. No international media outlets have been allowed into Gaza, forcing the world to rely on Palestinian journalists and others such as aid workers to report on conditions inside Gaza. The Israel Defense Forces did begin limited pauses in fighting in three populated areas of Gaza on Sunday, July 27th, for 10 hours a day, according to NBC News. However, this partial easing of restrictions in Gaza has done little to quell fears about the spiraling hunger crisis. Tom Fletcher, United Nations Emergency Relief Coordinator, said that this is progress, but vast amounts of aid are needed to starve off famine and a catastrophic health crisis. In a statement released by the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, his warnings were echoed by others, as the Palestinian Health Ministry in the enclave said on July 28th that 14 deaths over the past 24 hours were attributed to famine and malnutrition, with two children among those killed, according to NBC. Humanitarian groups and doctors have warned for weeks of malnutrition in Gaza, with Israel allowing only a basic amount of food in since May, when it lifted its blockade barring the entry of aid into the enclave. The coordinator of government activities in the territories, the Israeli military's liaison, said in a statement that just under 30 aid packages carrying food were airdropped over Gaza on July 27th. However, over 1,000 people, including children, have reportedly been killed by Israeli forces while waiting for aid. Ever since a new distribution system led by the controversial United States and Israel-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was implemented in late May, release of hostage videos in recent days show emaciated Jewish prisoners, including one stating he is digging his own grave, CNN reports. Some hostage families are urging Netanyahu to strike a deal with Hamas to bring home the remaining hostages taken prisoner during the October 7, 2023 massacre. But Netanyahu has instead threatened a military response to completely conquer Gaza, including a takeover of Gaza City. That threat has drawn condemnation from world leaders. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said on Friday that he is gravely alarmed by the Israeli government's decision to take control of Gaza City. This marks a dangerous escalation and risks deepening the already catastrophic consequences for millions of Palestinians, he posted on social media, adding, it could further endanger more lives, including the remaining hostages. In a press release, France's Ministry of Foreign Affairs condemned, in the strongest terms, the Israeli government's war expansion plan, which France says would in no way contribute to the security of Israelis, including the hostages in Gaza. Trump, when talking to journalists on board Air Force One before his return to Washington, said that the United States was not in that camp. We never did discuss it, Trump told reporters. You're rewarding Hamas if you do that. I don't think they should be rewarded, he said, according to Reuters. On July 29th, San Diego Congressman Scott Peters shared a statement with San Diego Jewish World about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Peters states, "It is long past time to end the Gaza conflict with the return of all hostages and the end of military operations, but an active war zone is no excuse for not doing everything possible to prevent unnecessary suffering confronting Palestinians who are caught in the crossfire between Israel and Hamas." He adds that the recent announcement of multiple airdrops and aid convoys, humanitarian pauses in fighting, and the designation of secure routes for wider dissemination of assistance provides renewed hope. But he added, "Hundreds of truckloads of aid are currently sitting at the Gaza border, waiting to be distributed. There is no justification for delay." Some Jewish leaders are also calling for more humanitarian aid for Gazans. Bruce Tomar, international president of the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs, states, "The war between Israel and Hamas has brought immense pain and loss to countless lives. We have grieved deeply for our Israeli brothers and sisters, for hostages and soldiers, for those and their families murdered at the hands of Hamas on October 7th. But Tomar adds, "We therefore also call on the Israeli government to do everything in its power to reduce the suffering of innocent civilians and to ensure that humanitarian aid reaches those who desperately need it. Justice and security for one group of people must never come at the complete expense of another," Tomar concludes. Even staunch conservative Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia is now voicing concern over conditions in Gaza. On X, she says, "It's the most truthful and easiest thing to say that October 7th in Israel was horrific and all hostages must be returned, but so is genocide, humanitarian crisis, and starvation happening in Gaza." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Juliet Sanders.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
President Trump will end this war in a way to prevent a third invasion and not to entice China to take Taiwan. We're not out to humiliate Putin. We're out to get a deal to make sure there's no third invasion.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tells Meet the Press that the U.S. should take a stance with Russia on Ukraine that will warn China away from invading or blockading Taiwan. President Donald Trump will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska Friday, the first time the Russian president has been on U.S. soil in a decade. Putin says Ukraine should give up some of its eastern territory in return for an initial ceasefire. Trump has seemed open to that, but Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky and European allies have flatly rejected it, arguing Putin is untrustworthy and the deal would give him what he wants before negotiations start. Republican Iowa lawmakers say new legislation there aims to combat liberal indoctrination at public universities. Educators say they're trying to limit academic freedom and speech. Labor unions, graduate students, and faculty at the state's three public colleges have formed the Iowa Higher Education Coalition in response. University of Northern Iowa journalism professor Chris Martin says they want to especially defend the independence of faculty not protected by tenure.
You want to have discussions in classrooms where professors feel they can talk about anything that's related to that class, and they shouldn't feel like they can't say certain things and risk getting fired.
Iowa's Board of Regents has already gotten new authority to accept or reject curriculum. Two Texas court cases could decide the fate of out-of-state telehealth abortion services. Both cases challenge blue state shield laws, which protect medical professionals who provide abortion medicines. A Texas man is suing a California doctor for prescribing and then sending his girlfriend the medication, and a Texas judge already ruled in favor of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's civil suit against a New York doctor. Both cases could end up being appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. Natalie Birnbaum is with the Reproductive Health Initiative for Telehealth Equity and Solutions.
These healthcare providers are operating and utilizing the protection of their shield laws in their states, and the providers that are the targets of these lawsuits are operating under the scope of practice of their licenses in those states.
The North Carolina General Assembly has overridden a governor's veto of legislation, making it harder to approve new environmental regulations. The legislature will now have to approve rules estimated to cost industry more than $20 million over 5 years. Stephanie Schweiker with the North Carolina Conservation Network says it'll grind rulemaking to a halt and harm efforts to do things like remove dangerous chemicals from tap water.
Our state is really dealing with the impacts of chemicals in our drinking water, and the RAINS Act will make it a lot less likely that we get strong rules in place that will give families safe water to drink.
I'm Simone Perez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As summer temperatures rise, the County of San Diego has closed the El Capitan Preserve near Lakeside, Hell Hole Canyon Preserve in Valley Center, and Mount Gower Preserve in Ramona for the month of August. Two other county parks, Agua Caliente Regional Park and Vallecito County Park in the desert, have been closed since Memorial Day and will reopen Labor Day weekend. In addition to protecting the public from extreme temperatures, the closures give Department of Parks and Recreation staff the opportunity to conduct maintenance such as trail restoration. Park officials urge the public to be safe and protect yourselves from the heat if you hike during summer months in other parks that remain open. Prolonged exposure to heat can cause disorientation or heat stroke, so here are some safety tips. Choose hikes that are appropriate for your skills and physical condition. Go with the safest option in hot weather. Stay hydrated. Drink water before, during, and after hiking. Park rangers recommend carrying 1 quart for every 2 to 3 miles you plan to hike. Bring more water than you think you'll need, especially on longer or strenuous trails. Check weather forecasts and be familiar with the terrain for your trail. Let someone know where you will be and when you plan to return. Don't just rely on your cell phone because it can lose reception in remote areas. Hike with others, never alone. Bring a flashlight, a first aid kit, multi-purpose tool or knife, and a whistle to summon help. Non-perishable items like dried fruit, energy bars, trail mix, peanut butter, canned tuna, whole grain crackers, and jerky are healthy snacks that provide fuel to boost your energy levels and to make up for lost calories. Don't forget your hat and sunglasses, and bring sunscreen to reapply sunscreen. Dress in layers of breathable, light-colored, loose-fitting clothes that you can take on and off based on the temperature and to prevent sunburn. Good boots provide grip in rocky and slippery areas, but they also provide a thick layer of protection from the hot earth. Follow posted safety rules. Print out a map of the trail to bring along to stay on track. Avoid hiking during the heat of the day. Leave dogs at home in hot weather, since dogs can get overheated easily. Never leave your pet in the car. On an 85-degree day, a car can reach 102 degrees in 10 minutes. And soar upward to 120 degrees, even with the windows down an inch or two. If you take your dog, bring plenty of water for your pet, and please don't walk your dog on hot pavement, asphalt, or sand in the heat, which can burn their paws. For more information on visiting county parks, visit sdparks.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
People living in their vehicles now have a new option. The San Diego County Office of Homeless Solutions has opened an oversight safe parking site in the Grantville neighborhood of San Diego with capacity to serve 20 vehicles. The location on Glacier Avenue is on county-owned land that will eventually become 300 affordable senior housing units. It's part of the county's effort to expand emergency housing options for people experiencing homelessness. The site is in a residential and commercial neighborhood next to California Bank and Trust, which is on Mission Gorge Road. The opening was announced at a bipartisan morning news conference with San Diego County District 2 Supervisor Joel Anderson, Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs from 51st Congressional District, San Diego City Councilmember Raul Campillo of District 7, and other officials. Supervisor Anderson said, "This safe parking program is saving lives and helping those who need it most. We look forward to even more success stories from the families and individuals that will be helped at this location." Anderson thanked Campillo and his staff for securing community buy-in from surrounding residents and businesses. "You don't see any protesters," Anderson noted, a contrast to other areas where safe parking or housing for homeless peoples have been proposed. He added, "Everybody in the community understands how important this is to their community, and they're all very, very supportive." The parking lot is operated by the nonprofit Dreams for Change and will serve participants through case management and housing navigation to find more stable housing options. Participants will be connected to employment, health, and social services, as well as resources and flexible funding to help remove any barriers to housing. The overnight parking site opens every day at 5:30 p.m. Participants will have to leave the lot the next day by 7:30 a.m. Anderson said 52% of people staying in safe parking sites have all moved on to permanent housing. This is an incredible number, getting people into housing with wraparound services, adding that nobody should have to live their lives in the car or on the streets. Everybody deserves to have an open park where they can take their children to play. Congresswoman Jacobs secured $850,000 in federal funds to operate the site. She said at the press conference, "We know that every night in San Diego there are thousands of people, parents, children, veterans, who sleep in their car and have nowhere else to go. For them, the car isn't just how they get from place to place. It's shelter, it's security, and it's their only option." But the Congresswoman added, "That feeling of safety can be fleeting, when the fear of being harassed, being towed, or being fined is always on the back of your mind, that keeps you up at night. This safe parking site changes that. Here, families can sleep through the night. Here, people have access to bathrooms and daily meals and case managers." Campillo highlighted the bipartisan efforts that made the site possible. He said, "City and county and federal collaboration are how we address these types of issues. It's not just San Diego that's dealing with homelessness. It's all across California and all across the country." He added, "Every safe parking lot we've had in the city of San Diego has been a success, a smart investment, actually spending money in the right way. It's cheaper and more effective than lots of other methods. It's a great investment, and I'm so glad that we get our federal tax dollars coming right back here to San Diego." Jacobs pointed out that a safe parking site is not the final solution to the housing and homelessness crisis. "I'm going to keep working to reimagine our social safety net," she pledged, "because our current systems just aren't helping enough people, and they aren't helping people enough, and that needs to change." Anderson touted the county's incredible success rates of safe housing to get the people off the streets, then noted that seniors are particularly at risk. He said, "We know that seniors are the fastest growing homeless population due to rising costs, which typically hurt those on fixed incomes." Anderson noted that East County District 2 has experienced a drop in homelessness recently, with a 27% reduction recorded 2 years ago during the annual point-in-time count. It was the first time there was a reduction in homelessness in that county supervisional district, adding that last year, homelessness was reduced by another 11%. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Juliet Sanders.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
The Sheriff's Department seeks public help to identify and find a man wanted for sexual battery of a female jogger, age 24, in the 1600 block of Hilton Head Road in the Rancho San Diego community of unincorporated El Cajon. The woman went for an evening jog on July 30th. After 8:30 p.m., the suspect grabbed her from behind by putting his left arm around her neck and chest to restrain her and then sexually battered the woman, according to Lieutenant Aloha Peters. On social media, the victim has posted that she was groped. She screamed and was able to run away, per Lieutenant Peters and the victim. The suspect fled in the opposite direction. He is described as a white male in his mid-20s, about 5'6" tall, 150 pounds, with a thin build, and wearing a dark-colored top, a dark, possibly black hat, and black flip-flops. He had short, shaggy, medium brown hair. Detectives are actively investigating this incident, and anyone with information is asked to call the Sexual Assault Unit at 858-285-6112 or the After Hours line at 858-868-3200. You can also remain anonymous and call in a tip to Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477. Reporting from Rancho San Diego for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
After years of wrangling, the public hearing on the fate of the Cottonwood Golf Course and whether it will be turned into a sand mine has been set for September 10th at 9 a.m. before the San Diego County Board of Supervisors. In July, the county's planning commission denied a major use permit for the project after the commission deadlocked in a tie vote. The developers appealed to county supervisors, who hear from residents as well as the developers about the proposal to grant a major use permit to operate an industrial open-pit sand mine for a minimum of 10 years, after which reclamation efforts will be made to restore the land. The site along the Sweetwater River in Rancho San Diego is close to homes and businesses. It is also directly upstream from a federal wildlife preserve. The county's planning commission earlier this month denied the MUP, but the supervisors will be listening to testimony about it in September. Thousands of people opposed to the project have signed petitions and attended numerous public meetings in recent years. Concerns include increased traffic, air and water pollution, and noise. The Stop Cottonwood Sand Mine Group has sent out an email urging residents and others concerned about the project to show up in person or call in to speak about the September 10th Board of Supervisors meeting. You can also contact your county supervisors or county chief of staff, Paul Worley, and once the agenda is published a few days before the meeting, submit a public comment on the agenda item. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Juliet Sanders.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County. Hot August nights and late summer days bring some of East County's most iconic events. This month's hot happenings include the Ramona Country Fair, San Diego Dark Sky Fest in Julian, a Gatsby-themed Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival celebrating the park's centennial, a county music pool party at Sequan, Santee's Summer Concerts, La Mesa's Classic Car Show, Macy Gray in concert at the Magnolia, Grammy Award-winning Alabama Shakes at San Diego State, Julian Mountain Brew Fest, Open Farm Days at the Oasis Camel Dairy, Hakumbia Fest in Hakumba Hot Springs, and more. And here are details. Amusement rides, carnival games, live music, and more are all part of the Ramona Country Fair. The fun takes place August 1st through 3rd at the Ramona Outdoor Community Center in Ramona. The festivities also include a cornhole competition, kids' power wheel race, off-road show, craft beers and local wines, dog events, craft and commercial vendors, and more. The live music lineup includes many well-known local bands and talented singers. This event is open to the community, though there is a fee for parking. For hours and a full lineup of live entertainment, you can visit RamonaChamber.com. Santee's Summer Concert Series concludes with 80s All-Stars on August 7th playing hits from the 80s and Jimmy's Buffet, a Jimmy Buffett tribute band, on August 14th. Concerts run from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East in Santee. August is the last month for the La Mesa Classic Car Show this year, held each Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. along La Mesa Boulevard in the heart of La Mesa's downtown village. The last four musical performers are June and John's Rockin' Country Caravan on August 7th, Zealand on August 14th, That Beatles Cover Band August 21st, and the 80s All-Stars for the season finale on August 28th. Find more info at LaMesaVillageAssociation.org. Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona will host Open Farm Days on August 9th and 23rd, where you can watch a live show with camels and talking birds, watch a turkey stampede, feed, and meet the animals. Advance tickets are required and may be purchased online at CamelDairy.com. Four-time Grammy Award-winning rock band Alabama Shakes will be live in concert at the Cal Coast Open Air Amphitheater at San Diego State University on August 10th. Their hit songs include Hold On, Don't Wanna Fight, and Killer Diller Blue. For tickets, you can visit the Associated Students site at San Diego State University. In Cash After Dark on August 13th, tribute artist Cliff Wright brings music of Johnny Cash to Sequan's Up Close and Personal Theater. Wright regularly performs in Vegas as well as on tour. For tickets, you can visit sequan.com/events. On August 14th, Muscatine Bloodline brings a country music pool party complete with line dancing to the river at Sequan. The Alabama duo earned a standing ovation at the Grand Ole Opry, and they've sold out shows nationwide with music inspired by the Cajun fishing villages where they grew up. For tickets and details, visit sequan.com/events. Grammy Award-winning soul and R&B singer and actress Macy Gray will perform at the Magnolia in El Cajon on August 15th at 7 p.m. Known for her distinctive raspy voice and singing style influenced by Billie Holiday, she has sold over 25 million records worldwide, released 10 albums, and was inducted into the National Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame in 2014. She's best known for her international hit single, I Try. Gray has also appeared in many movies, including Training Day, Spider-Man, Scary Movie 3, Lackawanna Blues, and The Paperboy. For tickets to her concert at the Magnolia, you can visit MagnoliaSanDiego.com. Celebrate the night sky at the San Diego Dark Sky Network on Saturday, August 25th from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Mangini Winery in Julian, an international dark sky community. August 16th will be a dark, moonless night and a good opportunity to view the Perseid meteor shower. Local astronomers will set up telescopes to view other night sky features, including the Milky Way galaxy. You can also enjoy a tour of the night sky with laser pointers and hands-on activities for kids. Plus, hear from Dr. Robert Quimby, director of the Mount Laguna Observatory and an astronomy professor at San Diego State University, about their astronomical research. For more information, visit juliandarkskynetwork.com. You're invited to don your best Roaring Twenties attire and party the night away atop Mount Helix on August 16th at the Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival, which this year has a Great Gatsby theme. The event celebrates the 100th anniversary of the Mount Helix Nature Park. Guests will enjoy two live bands, dancing under the stars, a speakeasy, food and beverage sampling booths, live and silent auctions, and more, all to benefit the Mount Helix Park Foundation. For tickets, visit mounthelixpark.org/festival, and that's Mount Helix, MTHELIX park.org/festival. The Julian Chamber of Commerce invites you to savor the Julian Mountain Brew Fest at Nickel Beer Company on August 23rd from noon to 4 p.m. Your ticket includes 8 tastings, a commemorative cup, and live music by the Sun Valley String Band. Bad Vibes, Good Friends, and Hakumba Hot Springs Hotel will present Hakumbia Fest on August 30th, starting at 5 p.m. This is a one-night celebration of Afro-Colombian rhythms, traditional and psychedelic cumbia from Colombia, Mexico, and USA. This powerful night of music and dance features the legendary Los Gaiteros de San Jacinto, torchbearers of Colombia's ancestral gaita and cumbia traditions. Sharing the stage will be Bogota's experimental groove magicians, Rumparayo, known for their wild percussion-driven reinventions of tropical classics, and Tijuana's own La Diabla, fusing border town swagger with sultry sonidero energy, plus DJ Strange Bouquets and DJ Matt Bazone of Space Hall Sound Machine. Set in the landscape of Hakumba Hot Springs, this desert gathering promises a sonic pilgrimage that spans generations and continents. You're invited to come early for a soak and stay late for the music. For tickets and details, you can visit hakumba.com. And you can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar of events at eastcountymagazine.org. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.